All right. And the title of the series is A Church in Progress. And I chose that title because really something that we see in, and I think, you know, the Corinthian church is famous for this. The Corinthian church is often famous for being like a bad church. That's what it's known for. You know, if you've heard any sermons on, you know, a section in Corinthians or a passage in Corinthians, I'm sure the pastor said something like, oh, the Corinthians were so bad. You know, that's really always stated. And I think that, yeah, they did seem to have some serious struggles. I mean, they're not the only church who had struggles in the Bible. In Revelation, for example, you know, God or Jesus kind of calls out, you know, several of the seven churches that he talks about. I mean, every epistle, almost every epistle, there's some kind of, often some kind of serious problem that the church is, you know, struggling through, and that Paul kind of like, you know, kind of exhorts them and kind of challenges them and says, hey, look, this is wrong. What this thing that you're believing or doing is wrong. I think the Korean church is, Korean, yeah, the Korean church too. The Corinthian church, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think God knew exactly what he was doing when he chose to call us Koreans. Sounds so much like Corinthians. The Corinthian church was notorious, is notorious though, because a lot of the sins that they, you know, committed were pretty bad. Like, kind of like, it's your, like, kind of like the kind of sins where you're like, wow, like, if we had that going on in here, it would be like major drama. Like every other Korean church would know about OKC because of what's going on. If we were like the church, if we had been committing the same sins as the Corinthian church, and if it was as like public as, you know, it was for these guys. So they are kind of unique in that way. And that's why I chose that title, A Church in Progress, because it's amazing. And we're going to talk about this in more detail and in more depth later, you know, throughout the series. But basically how much Paul really is hopeful for the church and how much he still says, hey, look, you are still the church. You are still God's people. And so I like that, A Church in Progress, you know. A work in progress. And I hope it's relevant to us because, man, we're still a work in progress, aren't we? You know, we're a church in progress, you know, if you would. You know, it's just, it's. I love the epistles because they're just letters to churches. And we're a church. You know, it's and it's just like so relevant. It's so relatable, the things that they went through. So I hope that we can really learn a lot and take this seriously and just be blessed, you know, just be blessed. And as we see how much God does love us, and how much he is gracious, because that's ultimately, you know, the underlying, you know, theme of the Bible is how good God is and that he wants us to know that. Let me pray for us before I get into this message, okay? Our first message in this series. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love and just your goodness. Lord, we thank you for who you are. I pray that you would help us to know that more, know who you are. I pray that you would help us to be transformed by a knowledge of you, a deeper knowledge of you, God. And Lord, I pray that we would know you just so well that other people who don't know you would be able to know you by knowing us. Lord, that we would look like you. We would believe in you that much, God. And so, Lord, as I share from your word, Father, please open our hearts to the powerful truths of your word. And God, and when there are things that are true, which I believe are true because you say they are true, God, that I may share or that are shared from your word that may go against or challenge some of the ideas that we have adopted through the world, through media, through just living in the States or whatever, or from our experiences, God, I pray that your spirit would really directly intervene and help us to see the reality of, you know, of your truth and just the beauty and the goodness of your truth, God. So Lord, help us in this time and be with us and be with every soul here, Lord. And just move in their hearts, who really wants to grow in you right now, who really wants to hear from you. Lord, not critique what you have to say, not critique your word, God, but who wants to be fed by your word. Please bless them, Lord. And Father, for those of us who are maybe struggling to have that desire, Lord, honestly, I pray that you would show us the folly of our ways and do whatever it takes so that we would be able to receive life in you, and that we would have a hunger for you and a desire for you, God, so that we would know that there's nothing better than you, nothing better than being in a relationship with you, Lord. So remind us of these things, God. Teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Moving right along. All right. So if you guys can get your Bibles out and open to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. All right. We're just going to go ahead and get right into the word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay. If you have, if you have a Bible app, and that's another thing. If you guys use your Bible app, try to turn off your notifications or whatever, because, they can be distracting. So, I think someone said put your phone in airplane mode. Does that work? No, that still won't work, right? Turn off all your, you get what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians, all right, chapter 1. And, to kind of introduce the message and this passage, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and we're not going to talk so much about the background today, because I want to save that for a different passage. But it's basically what he's saying. He's writing a letter. He's writing a letter to this Corinthian church. And in this passage that we're going to be reading, he really seems to be saying one thing. He's saying, you guys are saints. Corinthians, you guys are saints. You guys have been called to be saints. Right? And he kind of talks about that, and he introduces this idea to them. And this idea that this truth, that the Corinthians are saints, whatever that means, it becomes basically the foundation for the whole book, and it's actually crazy that that's so, because that word saint, the root of that word is the same as the root, or it means holy. That's what saint, being a saint means. It means holy. Okay, when the Bible says God is holy, that same word, it's not a different word in the New Testament that's used for God and for holy saints. That same word is used for the Corinthians and for God's people. You guys are the holy ones. You guys are saints. That's what Paul's saying. A direct translation is holy ones. All right? And another, use of that word is in sanctification. The root of that word sanctification is the same. The Greek word is hagios, all right, if you want to know. It's all the same. Hagios means holy. It's saints. So what does sanctify mean? It means becoming holy or being holy. That's what it means. It's a verbal form of that word, holy. And that's kind of what Paul talks about. And what I want to talk about today is just, what does that mean? What does it mean that the Corinthians are saints and that we are saints? An extension of that is that we are saints, that the church, that we the church are saints. What does that really mean? What does that look like? And why is that even, why do we care? Why should I even care? Is it like important to me? And I'm going to say right now, it is. And it's amazing. And it's that I'll just start off by saying this, that I'm called to be one of God's saints. That defines my life. And that's been, the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it still is. That I have purpose in God, that I have a calling, that he wants to use me, that he has this plan for me and this desire for me to be a saint, to be holy. Man, that thing, when I think about what that really means, every morning when I wake up, if I think about that, it puts a smile on my face and it makes everything okay. Whatever is going to happen, whatever I have to face, it makes everything okay. And that's what God wants to give us. That's what life in Christ is about. That's a big part of what life in Christ is about. And that's what I want to talk about. So first, let's read. Turn this on. Chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1, okay? I'm going to read this for you guys. It's a little longer, so I'm just going to read it. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, I know it's 1 through 9. I know that a lot of times you guys hear that, and it's, you know, you don't really fully grasp everything. So, what I'm gonna do is to kind of help you to understand what Paul's saying here. I'm gonna break it down into 3 points. And you know what Paul's saying. And, you know, it could be broken down into 4 points, or 5 points, or 9 verses. I could go through every verse. It could be just one big section. All right. So the way I break it down or organize it, it's, you know, that can change, all right, from one pastor to another, but it's just how I'm organizing what Paul is saying. And I believe that what Paul is saying is what we all should be trying to understand, because God is speaking through Paul right here. He has a message for the Corinthians. Right? That's what interpreting the Bible is about. It's not, what do you think this means? It's, all right, what is Paul saying to the Corinthians? What is God speaking through Paul? What is God saying through Paul to the Corinthians? Okay? And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to break it down to 3 points. And the first point is, you know, that we have been appointed to be saints. All right? It says in verse 1, let's start from verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes. He's called by the will of God to be an apostle. And then he says, Paul's saying, I'm writing. Okay, this is basically it's a letter. You know, it's insisting from Paul. And he says, to who? The church of God that is in Corinth. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he says on the top, what do they write on the top in your Bible? It says greeting. That's what it is. It's the greeting of a letter. He's saying, hi, I'm Paul, dear Church of Corinth. And he writes this endearing note. But this is actually important, because what he calls them are those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus and are called to be saints. The church in Corinth were called to be saints. You are also called to be saints. Another translation of that word called is appointed, or chosen, or selected. You have been appointed to be saints. God has appointed you guys to be saints. All right? That's the first point. I'm gonna explain all this, but first I just want to kind of break it down. Paul says you guys have been called to be saints. All right? Then he says they had been enriched in Christ. Paul says you guys have been called to be saints, and he's so thankful for them because God has given them grace and he has enriched them. It says in verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says they've been enriched in Christ somehow. All right, once again, I'm going to explain what these things mean, but I'm just kind of trying to summarize this for you. So he says, you guys are called to be saints. You've been enriched in Christ. In fact, you're not lacking in any gift. You've been blessed by God. You have everything you need. All right? And finally, Paul says, God will sustain you. God will sustain us. He is faithful. You know, back to that last, or the last two verses. In verse 8, it says, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So basically, Paul says, hey guys, Corinthians, you're called to be saints, and I'm so thankful because you've been blessed. God has enriched you guys. You guys have so much stuff. You have everything you need. And I just want to remind you, God's going to sustain you till the end. I know you guys are waiting for the Lord to return. That's what we're all doing. We're all waiting to see the Lord, right? This is not the end. You guys know that. And God and Paul says, and God's going to sustain you, okay? So what does that mean to us, though? What does that look like for us? Because this letter and this greeting and this thanksgiving, these two sections, this is for us as well, all right? And I'm going to tell you what it looks like. First, you know, I'm going to go for the first part. You know, we're called to be saints. God has appointed you to be saints. It's funny because actually in this passage, it says in verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified, what tense is that? Past. Yes, thank you. Where whispered that? Yes, past tense, okay? It's past tense. So has it happened or will it happen? It has happened. Good. And yet we're called to be saints. So it has happened. Also, we're called to be this, or we're appointed this office as well. So while it has happened, you've been sanctified. At the same time, you're also called and appointed to be something. You have this responsibility. You have this role, this purpose, all right? There's just all this progressive element. There's this completed element. There's also a progressive element. Church, you're called to be saints. And that's crazy. That's amazing. You're called to be God's holy people. What does holy mean? Holy means you don't watch rated R movies, right? It could be. That's not all it means. Holy means you never say bad words. It could be, but that's not all it means. What does holy really mean when it comes down to it? Who remembers? What does holy mean? Set apart. You're set apart. You're different. You stand out. Church, that's what you're called to do. You're called to be set apart. I love this passage right here in Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself, to make holy for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Holy people are zealous for good works. You're called to be holy. It doesn't mean God's saying to you. So often we interpret that as, all right, I'm called to live a boring life. I'm called to be holy. I'm called to not be able to do the things that secretly I kind of would like to do. The things that my friends do, my coworkers do. Yes, I know God. I know Pastor. That's what it means to be holy, and I'm called to be such a person. Woo-hoo. That's not what the Bible says at all. I'm sorry to tell you this. You don't have a right understanding of the Bible and of what it means to be a Christian. You're called to be holy. You're called to be set apart. You know what that means? It means you're called to do good works. You're called to be somebody who does good in this world, who's a light in this world. You're called to be on this adventure where you're in this crazy world full of darkness, full of evil, full of sin and pain and murder and just, you know, adultery, all these bad things, perversion, right? And you're called to be someone who changes things and transforms things. You're called to be different. That excites me so much. I love that. God's saying you're going to stand out. You know, like the picture I always get is like, and that's why a lot of people use this terminology, like maybe a soldier, some kind of pioneer, you know, like a hero. I like that, superhero. That's what we're called to be, superheroes. Who does not like superhero movies. Okay, I mean, I love every Disney and Marvel movie that comes out. Almost too much. We all do. Dude, we're called to be superheroes in this world. That's really what it means to be holy. It's a big part of what it means to be holy. Is God doesn't say you're set apart just for the sake of looking better than other people. Like, oh, I don't do those things. Be gone from me. That's not what it means to be set apart. He's saying be set apart so you can be an example. You can be a leader. You can be a light. You can be a transformer of culture, of society, of people's lives. You can be someone who brings life, salvation to people. You can be someone who brings joy. You can be someone who brings freedom. Do you know how many people are in bondage today to so many things? To their anxieties, to their insecurities, to their addictions, whatever these things may be. That's what it means to be a saint. God has called you and appointed you. He's appointed you guys because of what Christ has done. Not because you're good, okay? Because Christ has died for you. And now you are sanctified, right? You're a saint. God says now you're appointed to be a saint. You're appointed to be a hero, a superhero, and go around. You're going to save people. You're going to change people. You're going to bring life to people. You're going to bring love to people. That's what it means to be set apart. And we often lose sight of that aspect of it. And we just say, I just have to be different, meaning I just can't do stuff that other people do, period. Why would God care? Is that what God sent his son for? So that you could just not do certain things? That's part of it. But it says in Titus, he redeemed you so that you'd be zealous for good works. Good works doesn't just mean like, good, that word good, man, it's lost. Hey, how was the movie? It was good. It wasn't that great. Dude, what does the Bible say? The Bible says God is good. All right, so try to redefine that word, good. When the Bible says God has redeemed you to be zealous for good works, I'm talking about those works that make people rethink things, that make people excited about following Jesus, that make people experience true life. Those works that you see that are like, whoa, why is that person doing that? That love, that challenges me. I want that. Whatever that person is doing or whatever that person is believing, like, I'm curious. And we have to understand this, guys. We have to really understand, especially today, what it means to be a saint, what it means to be a Christian. Because more and more and more, if you go to people and you say you're a Christian, can I share my faith with you? People are not going to want to listen. They may ask you just one question. They're going to say, do you support homosexual marriage? And you're going to be like, oh, well. And they're going to say, dude, you're just another one of those guys. I do not want to listen to you. That's how it's going to be. More and more. You know? But if you live out your calling and you walk in the Lord, do you know what's awesome? There's so much hope. This is what your goal is. Your goal is not to be like, yes, so please, stop being gay. Yes or no? That's not what, you know, hey, are you gay? Hey, dude, God doesn't want you to be gay. He doesn't want you to get married. Do you accept God? That's not how we minister to people. In any situation, in any form of sin or bondage or suffering or struggle, you don't go to people and say, you know, dude, you know, you're very greedy and God wants you to change that. He does not like that you're greedy. Can you stop? And, you know, so do you love God now? That's not how you change people. That's not how God changed us. How did God change us? How did God get our attention? He showed us his love. He showed us how good he is. And his goal, his purpose in that is that we will say, man, he is so good. His love is so good that even though there are things that I want to do that he says are not good for me, and even though I feel in my own heart that they are right, because he is so good, because he is so, so good and perfect, and because I'm so drawn to him, I want to trust him. I will believe in him. I will believe what he says because he is so good. And to be a saint means you show that to people. That's what it means to be a Christian, guys. Doesn't mean you go to church. It's not enough. It's not all it is. It's great. Come to church. It's not what God sent his son to die on the cross for. It's not why God created this world so you give him 1 or 2 or 3 hours of your week to suffer through a message or songs that you don't like, to be around people that bother you. That's not. Do you think that's the purpose of all this stuff? Are you serious? Come on, that's not the purpose of all this stuff. God did all this because he's that good. And he wanted to raise up a people who knew that. That's what the church is supposed to be. People who know how good God is and who love him for that. And so this is how it works, guys. So when your friends and people see you, this is what they should see. Dude, I don't believe in the stuff that you believe in. I don't agree. But whoever you're believing in, I can't see that person or that being or whatever. I can't see that being. I can't see him. But by the way that you love him, by the way that you are joyful, by the way that you live your life, right? I believe, I can see that whoever you believe is good. It seems like he loves you a lot. Even though I disagree with what you're saying, I see in you that whoever you believe, this invisible being loves you so much that you're happy and joyful even when life sucks. This being has shown you so much grace that you forgive people who I would never forgive. And you show them such an amazing love that I would never show. You say that you disagree with things that I like or I do, but you love me more than people who agree with me. So I'm curious now. You spend your money in such a way that makes me know that you for sure believe that this is not the end. And that you believe that so much challenges my belief that all there is in this life is this short life. And people want to believe in eternity. God made us like that. You know, God made us like that. And people will want to believe in Jesus. When they see those things in you, that's when your words have power. That's when the gospel has power. That's when the words of the Bible have power. And that may be why it's hard for us, hard for me, to share these words, because even as I'm saying that, even as we're reading them or sharing the gospel, something deep in us is like, do you even believe this? Do you really represent somebody who believes this stuff? You know, it's kind of like being a sales, you know, like, have you ever tried selling something that you would never buy? It's hard. Unless you're just good at lying and just good at faking it, which some of us are. Some of us have a gift of just, you know, they can sell anything. I'm not like that. You know, if I don't like it, like, you know, I don't like it. It's hard, guys. But when you like something, it doesn't matter if you're the worst salesman in the world, you can sell it. You know, because all people, you don't have to be eloquent, you don't have to be knowledgeable, but if you say, I really like this product, and I can see that you really do, automatically I'm like, all right, it's gotta be at least good for him. Maybe it's good for me. That's what being a saint is, guys. That's what being holy is about. That's why we're set apart. Because we're trying to show people who God is. And you don't just do that in your own strength, guys. I'm not saying so start trying harder to fake. I'm not saying fake it. You have to know the Lord to do this. You have to know his love. And maybe some of you guys, and maybe this is just a reality that you have to face, you really, really don't know his love that well. Not nearly as much as God wants you to. And that's okay because it is a progress. But we ought to care. God does want you to care. Because this is the foundation of everything. This is why we're alive. This is everything. Our relationship with God is everything. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to be a saint. And that's really what I want for you guys and for myself. And Paul says that this church, this Corinthian church, he says they've been enriched in Christ. Guys, this is us. We've been enriched in Christ. We've been given so much. We've been given so much, first and foremost, and above all, the gospel, just this grace. If you're in here, I hope you can find joy in this fact that Christ has died for your sins. Maybe not right at the moment, but I hope you can sit down and just think about who you are and how much you may have failed, how much you don't care about God at times, how much you've done just straight up bad things, and that God still says, I love you and I forgive you. You're my child forever and ever. I hope that that gives you some joy. And when you really are meditating on that, that you know, dude, nothing else matters. You've been enriched in that way, church. And we can share that. We should share that. But you need to be resting in that. You need to be living in that daily. And if that doesn't bring you joy, I'm sorry to say this, you need to really take that seriously. That's a problem. It's not a problem like I'm saying you're bad or something's wrong with you. I'm saying I don't think you know the Lord. And I want with all my heart for you to know that joy and that peace that comes from the gospel. I want with all my heart for you guys to be able to sit down and just be, you know, meditating and just be just sitting in the gospel and to have a peace just overcome you. And be able to have that where it's like, God, I know I'm still struggling to trust you. I know I'm still struggling, but God, when I really just think about what you've done for me, I can at least say confidently, everything's going to be okay. I can say, God, nothing else matters because you love me. You got me. Even if I die, God, I know where I'm going. You've been enriched in that way. You have that. You know, and you've been enriched in so many other ways. It says in Corinthians, you're not lacking any gift, even materially or in a worldly sense or materialistic sense, I guess I could say. You know, guys, you've been given so many things. The theological knowledge that you have, your pastors, you may think, oh, your pastors don't know a lot. Go somewhere else in the world where they have a hard time just having a complete Bible. You have so much access to God's Word, who God is. This is so important, guys. You know, God has given this to us so that we can know Him. And you know, even before all the apologetic arguments of why this is truly God's Word, which there are many, I think it just comes down to this. Does God want you to know Him? Yes. Is He able to provide concrete, you know, absolute knowledge? Not relative, not like, oh, it just depends on what you think, but an actual knowledge of Him. What's the best way? In words. That's the best way, right? Because it's absolute. It's not, you know, just relative. It's not just like, what do you think or what do you think? There's actual words. At least to human beings, that's the best form of communication to relay truth. And would He do that? Is He able? Yes. And would He do that? Why would He not do that? That's a better question. Why would God not do that? And that's, for me, before even all the apologetic stuff, that's how I know that this is God's Word. And we have so much. You know, and God wants you to share that, guys. We need to be sharing this. You know, this is how Paul starts this whole letter. He says, you guys are saints. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. And I'm going to talk about something that's really relevant to us today, especially in terms of our calling to be saints. You guys have heard about what's going on with the police, you know, Black Lives Matter, all these things. Guys, you know, this matters to the church. What's happening matters a lot to the church. And I'm going to confess to you guys, I was very ignorant of a lot of the stuff that's going on. You know, my brother and I have had so many talks. You know, he thinks he's black, so he like loves black. He was always like, yo, you don't know what's going on, man. And I'm like, dude, you know, it's just black people getting all crazy. And he gets all mad. He's like, no, y'all, like, why are you hating on me? I'm like, you're not black, dude, you know. But I'm so thankful for him because he really opened my eyes a lot to just the reality of, you know, just the hatred that is kind of like just, you know, foundational to many people, you know, to the point where it's like even beyond like a level of awareness. It's just part of their worldview, I think. And we can see that through testimonies of black people also just so clearly through just what's been happening. It's pretty crazy. And I'll just say this. If you don't think there is such a thing as racism in the United States, you're just really ignorant. Because it's part of humanity, guys. It's part of sin. Hating people that like xenophobia, like hating people who are different from you. Just hating things that you don't like. You know, it's just part of being a human and being broken and sinful. So if you think it doesn't exist, you know, you're just ignorant. But I want to say, in this time, this is a time where great opportunity for us to be saints, to really live that out. Because what I see happening is a lot of polarization. I see a bunch of people who say, I hate white people. They're evil. I hate, you know, who cares about blue lives? I hate cops. It's really easy to say that. That's what's happening. Or you see a bunch of people who are like, dude, who cares? You know, they deserve it. It's because they kill so many other cops. Who cares about black? You know, it's like there's a lot of polarization. And it's crazy. And I think oftentimes the church is kind of like, what's the right side? When it's more like, who's going to be the people in this world who can help to change this by showing God's love? That's how reconciliation happens. It's not going to ultimately be even through, I don't think, through, you know, legislative, you know, process or things like that. These things are awesome ways to help, you know, tangibly help people who are suffering injustice, yes. But first, it's going to be who are the people who will live out this truth that God teaches us, love your enemy. That's how reconciliation happens. Who are going to be those who show black people, or amongst the black, in the black community, who show grace to white people, to the police or whoever, and vice versa? Who are going to be those who show grace even to those who are racist, even within the church? Because we all struggle with sin, and God loves us, and God teaches us not to sin. It's said in Titus, how? By yelling at us? By hitting us? No. He teaches us to be holy. How? Through his grace. Through his grace. Who will do that in the world? Look at how much our society is being polarized. It is a time for the church to be those superheroes, guys. Are you going to show that love to your neighbors? If people in here, you have, man, that guy, you know, that guy, they don't know, even know what's going on. They're racist or whatever, like, how are you going to teach them not to be? Yeah, you got it. Maybe part of it is telling them. But how you teach people to love is you got to love them. You got to show them God's love. That's how God teaches us his love, how to love. He shows us his love. We're called to be saints. And it's going to be hard. I'm going to end on this note. It's going to be hard. Following God is hard. Following God is hard. Following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus is hard, okay? It's hard because it's bad? No. Because your flesh meaning like who you are outside of Christ, you know, that just wants to be like everyone else, that thing's pretty strong. That thing's really deceptive. And it's going to say everything else is so much better than following God. And it's so hard not to believe that. Unless you're walking really close to the Lord. That's just the truth. Unless you're actively like, man, I need to be in his word. I need to be in prayer. I need to be living out obedience. Like, I need to be loving people actively and actually listening to this guy. If you're not actually listening to this guy, if you're not actually knowing what he's saying and then doing what he's saying, it's so hard to know that it's good. Because your flesh is so strong and it's so convincing. And it's going to say that that easier life, just doing your own thing, degaff, whatever, is so much better. It's easy. It's so much easier not to love people. It's so much easier just to live for yourself. Just do it. You deserve it. Don't worry. Don't worry. God's got you. He's going to forgive you. That's not the point, guys. It's not a question of whether God will forgive me or not. That's not all our faith is. That's not why God died for us. So some people will get forgiven or not. It's to give you life in Him, man. Give you new life in Him. It's not about making it or not. God's saying, I want something better for you. That's what I'm trying to say to you guys. Being a saint is better. And God wants that for you. But there's that voice in your head that's even speaking right now. And it's saying, oh, I can't do it. It's too hard. It's too much. Dude, one day, I hope you guys can learn to not listen to that. And that's what faith is. Even though you hear that, you say no. You say no and you go forward. You know, and here's the thing, it's gonna be hard, but what does God promise us? What does God promise us? Oops. At the end of this passage, He says, Jesus Christ will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, guys. He will sustain you. It's going to be hard, but God will sustain you. It's going to be hard being a saint. It's hard to be holy. It's hard to be different, but God will sustain you. That's His promise. That's His promise. So I'm going to end on that note, and I'd actually like the praise team to come up and just sing... what's that song? Yeah, Spirit Touch Your Church. And I'm just going to invite you guys to pray a little bit and respond. And I'm just going to give you guys a free time. Pray, think, sing. Just please, just hopefully, like, you know, if the words of God from the Bible are speaking to you, you interact with that. You engage with that in your own way. Okay, and they're going to.